Aye.
Well, my name is Pastor Jamie Buchanan. I'm the pastor of Student Ministries and Families here. And I'm really surprised everybody came back after I spoke last weekend. No, just kidding. I want to welcome up my brother from another mother. Come on up, Mike. It's great to have Mike with us. Yeah. So, yeah, it's good to have him, like to see the video. We're looking forward to what he has to share. And so I'm going to give it over to you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, testing my mic. So having fun with that. Wait, I am Mike. This is so weird. Man, I see that video, and it did have sound on the second half, so if you want to check it out later, you can go to our website or YouTube or whatever. So much fun. I mean, you guys, these teens represent not only Chapel Hill, but really Minnesota. We haven't had Minnesotian contact before, right? And so now the kids think of Minnesota, you know, they think of great kids, great adults, and it's such a blessing. It's an honor to be here. I can't believe they let me out of Kentucky. I did get a special permit. So so it's all good. Super glad to be here. And Pastor Jamie, when they asked me to come and speak, I'm like, you know, what part of Happy Church you want to know? We're not going to tell the whole story. So, oh, by the way, Jamie and I suffer from the same blessing. So I'm starting a timer, all right? So I do not want to bore you or run this long and want to get in a lot of stuff. But I asked him, what do you want me to speak about? And he was like, the call and then our first year of ministry. And I think it's really important because there's something all of us, I think, if you haven't learned this lesson yet, you're going to. So I want to share, especially with the young people that are here, and shout out to Joy and the girls for making it just in time, getting off their plane to get here. So that was awesome. So, by the way, did I tell you guys that Jamie has actually claimed a tree on our property, Jackson campus? A mimosa tree, right? Has anybody else ever heard of a mimosa tree? I'm looking. I see a couple hands. I'm like, do they give you nice drinks or, well, you know, what's going on here? So I still don't know which tree that is. He can point it out to me, but he claimed it. Love, Jamie. He is awesome, staying at his house. So to get to the call to go to Eastern Kentucky, and I'm going to keep this as short as humanly possible. Connie and I were living in Tennessee. We had been married about 10 years before the call came. So I got to back up, though, just a little bit. We're in Tennessee. I'm a physical therapist assistant. Been one since 86, I think. She was a nurse, certified in chemotherapy, PICC lines, advanced cardiac life support. So we had a nice life. I didn't get saved till 20. She came from a tough home. I came from a tough home. I got saved, like I said, miraculously at 20. Never went to church as a kid. Well, I went twice, and it was the most boring thing I'd ever been a part of. I swore never to go back. So, miraculously saved, 20 years old, go to Bible college, learn how to study the Bible, go to school for physical therapy assistant, move to Tennessee, meet Connie. We get married. Everything's great. We're very active in church. I was a studio musician for a while and played in a lot of groups and did a lot of traveling. But here we are. We're very active in our church. We started an Awana Cubby program, and then, which is 3 to 5 year olds. I love that group of kids. I mean, you want to talk about kids that want to have fun, right? And then we started the junior high, Bible quiz, and that kind of stuff. We're very happy in our life. We have a beautiful home. We have great friends. And God is like, I want you to move, right? And we're like, okay. We didn't know what that was going to look like. And we're kind of honestly dragging our feet a little bit because we love our life. We love God. We're serving in the church. And at this time, I'm a full-time police officer doing part-time physical therapy. I'm at work. I get really sick at work. Call a supervisor. Hey, I need to go home. Go home. I get shots and stuff like this. But 2 weeks, went to the doctor 3 different times, and we're at 2 weeks. My temperature had never changed from 102.1. We had a friend at that time who was dying of leukemia. The pharmacist told my wife that I am immunocompromised. The doctor is saying, we don't know what's wrong, but don't leave the house. We're going to contact Centers of Disease Control. And I worked in a housing project area, what we would call Zone 6 in the city that I worked in. And I loved it. I loved having fun with kids. But at that time, I also loved putting bad people in jail and helping good people. I thought I would retire doing that. I get sick. I'm laying in bed. I'm not very smart, but I am happy. So I'm laying in bed. I'm like, okay, God, it's been coming up on 2 weeks. What do you want from me? You know, it takes that long. Some of you would have done it probably day two or three or four, maybe seven. It takes me 2 weeks. What do you want? And it's almost so clear. I want you to move to Breathitt County, Kentucky. I'm like, what in the world? We had bought a piece of property there, sight unseen from a friend, 3 years prior. Okay? Never seen it. He just offered me. He lived there, born and raised, but he's never going back. He said, I'll sell you this 120 acres for $7,500. Would you have to look at the property or would you just buy it? Right? Not only do I trust my friend, I don't care. It could be swamp, it can be hillside. I'm going to make my money back, right? And then so 120 acres, $7,500. I'm like, I put it in a safe. The taxes were only $120 a year. Never even thought about it. So here comes this. I want you to move to Breathitt County. I literally, I'm laying in my bed. I literally said, God, I'm willing, but you better tell Connie, my wife, right? What I didn't know was she was on the other side of that wall at our couch praying. I'll get emotional, but God, I'll go anywhere, do anything. Don't take my husband because we're experiencing this with a good friend. And she came in. I said, honey, I think we're supposed to move to Kentucky. She goes, let's go. It was quite the shock. And I want you to know, I usually forget this part. My wife's beat it into my head to make sure I tell you. Within the hour, I was totally fine. And they never knew what it was, what happened. So we started the search. We're looking for this property in Eastern Kentucky. It's not like going to 212 Elm Street. You know, when you're in the foothills of Appalachia and you're trying to find something, you're looking for the certain creek and the certain rock that goes to the certain tree. Oh, I'm serious. One deed we saw said to where the cow is standing, right? Literally, it's in there. This is not make-believe, right? I'm like, that cow's got to be pretty old by now. And going to the Jack Bark Pine, whatever that is, Jamie knows, I'm sure. So we're trying to figure out where this property is, and we don't know what we're going to do. I did call the hospital in Breathitt County. I'm like, hey, you guys need a physical therapist assistant? And they're like, well, how much do you want? Which is a reasonable question. I tell them, they said, when can you start? So I'm like, okay, we got that settled. And we don't know where we're going to serve, what we're going to do. We don't know what God's call is. We just know we're supposed to go here. And we passed this beautiful little country church, and they had a brand new gym. Now, remember, we're youth workers. This gym's so new, there's insulation still hanging out from under the metal. We're like, man, they must have a great youth group, right? Maybe we can serve here until we figure out what we're supposed to do. And we go in there, and it's just like we immediately knew we were supposed to be there. This wasn't a vibrant church. It was five elderly people holding this thing together, and they felt like God told them to build a gym. And they made a list of 26 things they wanted in a pastor and his family. They didn't tell us this. But we met every one of those 26 things. But we knew, I mean, you ever go in a place and you just know the Spirit's there kind of thing? If you haven't felt that, man, it's a wonderful feeling. We go in there, we have three kids, one brand new baby. And our four-year-old daughter was already getting good at piano, and she was there playing the piano for the ladies. And my wife looks at me with that smile like, this is it, I know it. And there's one gentleman there, and I'm like, excuse me, sir, do you have a statement of faith? He goes, why, yes, we do. It's right here. And I was shocked at that. And, man, it read what we were used to. And so anyhow, long story short, I become an interim pastor there for a year. I didn't know I was going to be a pastor in this call. I thought maybe youth pastor, family pastor. good-looking security guy. Whatever. And now I'm in this pastor role. Now, I've had Bible training. I knew how to study the Bible for myself. And immediately ran into a lot of conflicts. The first teens that we went out to find, brought them to church, and they're like, those kids can't come here. I'm like, okay, why? Because they stole tools from us when we were building the gym. So I'm like, you want them to go to hell? So I wasn't very tactful then. Former military, former police officer, physical therapist. You know, I kind of like laying things out there. I still do. I'm kind of like, I want grace, but I also want truth. And so that was a battle. And then we had a hayride, and they said, no more hayrides. I'm like, why? Because insurance doesn't cover it. I'm like, well, this is easy fix. Change insurance. My cousin wrote a set policy. So battle. You know, it was honestly, I hated that year, the worst year of my life. We hit conflict after conflict after conflict. I really wanted to leave. I didn't want to be there anymore. We were about 9 months in, and I will get emotional, I'll try not to. Going back home from physical therapy, I'm going down 15 South toward Hazard, and the road to turn off to Clay Hole, to the Clay Hole Church where we served that first year, I had to make a left. And I'm coming up to it, but I'm seriously thinking about driving all the way to Tennessee, call my wife, say, hey, get the kids and stuff up. I'm done. I'm here. And it was almost audible. Mike, you remember the parable of the gardener trying to save the tree? He says, I'm pruning your branches. I'm digging up the ground around you. I'm throwing manure around you. I'm picturing on me. he said, I'm preparing you to produce much fruit. I'm bawling, so I make that turn. And I hang in there, and we get through the 12 months. And the 12 months is over, and I'm doing my happy dance. I am never going to be a pastor again. My three goals was to do physical therapy, to be a good lay person in a church, and to kill deacons for a living. Those are my new... Kidding on the last one, okay? We got to be careful now. That was 24 years ago, okay? So I still entertain that a little bit. But right when that last Sunday was done, and I was so happy, one of the families that we'd really helped through that year, the father had gotten saved. But he had been hurt by the leaders of the church because he wanted us to stay. I didn't want to stay. They didn't want me to stay. He's like, will you meet in my home? And I was like, no. Inside, I'm just like, no way. I never want to do this again. This is terrible. God had to have got this wrong. I had to read it wrong. But I knew that he was church hurt. I knew he wasn't going to go to church. I knew he was struggling with an addiction. I knew his wife dedicated herself to God. The kids were happier than they had been in a very long time. And somehow I said yes because I knew I was safe. I was just going to be in their home. 2 months later, they get us a storefront in Jackson that had been empty for 20 years. Mike, we found a storefront. We want to start church here. We've already outgrown the house. I'm like, oh, that's great. Yeah. And I'm trying to be positive for him because I also read Jonah, and I don't want to disobey God if he's leading. Even though, wouldn't it be super cool if you knew he was going to get barfed on the beach 3 days later to be swallowed by a fish, right? Knowing it's going to be okay, right? And imagine what he looked like going into Nineveh, you know, the acid washing his skin off a little bit, you know, probably looked a little ghostly. Repent or God's going to destroy. Okay, dude, you got it. I'm sorry, I digress. I do take medication, and I did take it today. So, anyhow, saying that, we get this storefront, but I'm really upset inside. I'm really mad at God. And I'm like, okay, God, here's the deal. I'm going to give my tithe. I'm not going to give a penny more. The first time you can't pay the rent or the utilities, you're telling me that you're releasing me from this ministry. I do not want it. And we clean the place up. We're getting ready to have our first Sunday service. We invite some kids who, by the way, the first two kids that we invited are now heading up our quizzing program for the next generation kids. But anyhow, we don't have a seat to sit on. My beautiful podium was a workbench with a sheet over it. Okay, we have literally nothing, but they're going to have fun. I'm hoping that we don't make the rent. And we're like 3 days away from our first service. We don't have chairs. We're telling everybody, BYOC, bring your own chair. The landlady called and said, Mike, somebody wants to rent part of your building. And I'm like, Jamie, we're renting a building. You can't rent part of it. She said, I know. But he wanted it for storage. And I asked what he wanted to store. Now, Jackson is like 1,200 people. The county's like 10,000. 500 square miles, like 10,000 people. She's like, guess what he wants to store? I said, I don't know, Jamie, what? Church pews. No, seriously, what's the odds? I mean, there are none. Okay, and I'm like, okay, God, that's pretty neat trick, you know. And so we have the chairs, we're having church, it's going great. A lot of kids come, stuff like that, but I still hate it. That was such a hurtful year. It took years to get over. And it helped me practice forgiveness. I had to keep saying, God, I choose to forgive. Help me to forgive. God, I choose to forgive. Help me to forgive. So the killing thing on my third point kind of died down a little. God, I choose to forgive. Help me forgive. Now we're at the six-month mark. And I'm honestly so happy we don't have the rent money. I'm like, okay, God, you knew the deal. I'm literally having this conversation with him. You're telling me it's okay that you're releasing me from this ministry. Right? Then there's a knock on the door. It's the landlady, who was as tight a person as I've ever met in my life. She said, Mike, I got a rebate check for my computer that I bought. I don't need it. I went to church to heaven. And it was to the penny what we needed for the rent. She didn't know that. I said, okay, God, I'm in. So I've tried to be a good steward from that time on, because God never does the same get your attention thing twice. So I knew the Jonah thing was out. I didn't want to imagine what he could have for me next. So I've tried to be in it from there. And God has blessed us so much. But what I can tell you about that year is we really thought, God can't be in this. There's been too many conflicts. It's too painful. I hated that year, but I needed that year. God gave me an immersion pastor training program for a culture that I was totally unfamiliar with. And I needed it. And it made me a better man, better father, better husband, better pastor. I hated it, but I needed it. So that's my encouragement for you and challenge for you. Don't doubt on the mountaintop what God has told you when you're in the valley, when it seems like everything, no way God could be in this. Now when bad things happen, we know to hang in there because something good's coming. I mean, that's how we look at it every single time. Something bad happens, something good's coming. Now, I'm hoping for not another flood for a while. Well, we've had 3 and 4 years, but it's really weird. We have 2 beautiful campuses that we're rebuilding. Somebody has gifted us an 8-acre piece of property right beside us. It's actually built up. It needs just a little bit higher to be out of the floodplain. Man, that's very awesome, but that isn't what energizes us. That isn't what excites us. What does is watching people be drawn to God, especially kids, but everyone, to see them, to be able to overcome the impoverished thinking, to be able to learn to start trusting God, to see him heal them. So many kids that are physically abused, mentally abused, sexually abused. It really is a terrible, terrible thing that destroys a lot of them, but God heals them. Not only does he heal them, he is growing wonderful families that have broke that bond of sin that's held their family for generations. We've seen it over and over. I got many great stories to share. I'm going to be at Wild Man Moondog's house today. What's the cover charge to get in there, Randy? All right, so if you want to ask questions later, I'll be... Is it here tonight, Randy? Where's the... Youth group?
Yeah.
Here?
Yeah.
Just checking.
Yeah.
All right. And so to say all that, we just made a brand new ministry video, and no one has seen it before. You guys are going to be the first. God has blessed us, and he keeps blessing us. And Connie and I don't know why. We're just normal folk-ish. You know, and we just want to love on people and help them. And he's turned it into an amazing ministry, and we're hoping to find quality people to turn it over to for the future. And our locals are the ones that are wanting to do it. Our first generation kids are now grown up. Our second generation kids are growing into the roles. You know, COVID and the three floods, we've lost a lot of ministry. It's all coming back. So anyhow, watch this video. Thank you for letting me be here today.